I'm Indy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Today we talk about our animal companions with veterinarian Alice Weiss. She's also a pet advice columnist who helps people navigate the joys and challenges of pet ownership. She's also the creator of Dogs Enjoy Life on Twitter and Instagram, which are some fun videos that we'll talk about. Welcome, Alice. So fun to have you here today.
Thank you.
I know we're going to have a fun hour. I can already tell. You split your time between Woods Hole and Bethesda, Maryland, where you work for the Center for Veterinary Medicine. But, of course, Woods Hole right here is where you got your inspiration, or should we say calling, to become a vet.
Yes.
Right around the corner.
That's right.
at the science school.
Yes, Children's School of Science.
So what? Tell us about that.
Well, it was a little bit different than the classes. It's still going now. But back then, they had so many different type of kind of, well, vertebrate anatomy, invertebrate anatomy, and we just dissected like crazy. So in the morning, you'd go out and collect things and come back to the classroom and just dissect things. But there was a class that I took probably when I was around 10 years old that is really not politically correct to even talk about.
Okay, but it was inspired. We won't talk about it then. Well, okay. It inspired you.
But they were vertebrate anatomy, and mm-hmm. It was just amazing to see sort of these beautiful animals that had been collected, look at them in a weird way. They were dead, but they were stunning and beautiful. And there was this just looking at their anatomy and seeing how the functions worked was inspiring.
Yeah, so I want to be a veterinarian. So, have you always had dogs? Have you always been a dog lover?
I forced my mom and dad to get Rover at about age 5. And then, I mean, I really worked it. I don't know what I did. I was a sickly child. And so I think I used that and begged and cried. And we ended up going with Rover only because he was a freebie. My father worked with a guy who had Chesapeake Bay Retrievers. And I remember it like yesterday when we brought this dog home, and I was scared out of my life because the dog was in a teething phase and was chewing on me, and it was terrifying. And I thought, what have I done? And so that's always something I bring back to clients that come in with puppies, like, watch out. The mm-hmm. child really can be
traumatized.
It's okay to stick the dog in a crate or put it in the bathroom. Doesn't even for whatever length of time.
I don't think we didn't even have crates when we were kids, though. Nobody crated their dog back then.
Well, you just threw him outside.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so you brought Babka with you, as you call the diva poodle. Tell us about her.
She's 3, and so at about 2.5 to 3, dogs tend to get their adult personalities, their personalities that they're going to have for the rest of their life. And that means that often they feel more themselves, more comfortable with themselves. And unfortunately, a lot of that time means that they can become more aggressive. So she's beginning to exhibit some protective instincts around the mailman at home, when people come to the house. And believe me, I have to practice what I preach, but it's hard.
Yeah. What is it about uniforms? Because I had a dog like that I used to bring, a German Shepherd I used to bring to work with me when I first started in radio, and he was great with everybody except the UPS man, anybody who came in a uniform.
And they came to the house, too.
No, they did not come to the house.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think part of it is that the mailman comes and does something to our house, our home, and then I think they extrapolate. They're smart, obviously, and they extrapolate that there's something with that kind of uniform.
But yeah, interesting. All right, 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Already have several emails because evidently you have quite a following for this Dogs Enjoy Life video stuff. So tell us about that before we get to some of the emails.
Okay. Well, it's sort of a wacky way to get my vet on out there. And I got to keep up with the times. You know, it's social media, and that's the way to connect to an audience. That's the way to reach an audience.
But they're silly, too.
Well, they are silly. And I think, whatever I have a certain wackiness that is, and creative energy that is, has been definitely supported by, and I mean, it's sort of, I guess I have to, I've always, for many, many years, kind of tried to keep that inside. Now I can kind of let it out. But I think people need, you know, the viewer's eyeballs are in order to keep them focused, they have to have some kind of fun and wackiness.
Because there's a serious message usually, but you're doing it in a fun kind of wacky way. So you can sort of smile as you're, where if you're just kind of watching this serious video, so boring. You
know? And I use the car. We sit in the car. And there is actually a real telephone in the car for vet, for people to call in for vet questions.
But not that one that you're using.
Sometimes.
Oh, really?
Sometimes.
That phone actually works? Oh,
yes,
my goodness.
It does. But the car is, it's used, it's a vehicle, but it's also used as a vehicle to kind of get the message out because the dog's eyes are at a certain level and we're just very comfortable. It's very soothing and relaxing to sit there in the car. And they do their thing, and then I'll kind of go backwards and extrapolate and see what they've done, and then sort of put something in, some message in if I can or cannot, or just let them do their dog weirdness thing.
All right. Kit says, my dog hates it when another dog gets in the car with him. Do you ever have any problems with the dogs fighting or not letting the other one in? Also, what happened to your rat?
Okay. So, for the most part, no. What I'm very careful about getting the dogs acclimated to each other. If there's we have a lot of visitors and characters on my quote unquote Instagram show or whatever page, and I'll keep the doors open when we're filming because they don't like. I think it does make them uncomfortable to be sort of trapped in, some of them. And then knowing that they can jump out if they want is important. Mm-hmm. But they, because there's food in the car, for the most part,
you would think they would want to fight with the food, right? Wow.
Well, again, as I said earlier, Bobka's getting her diva on, and she doesn't like anyone near her front seat.
Ah.
So if they come in there, she's beginning to growl a little bit. So I've got to
kind
of watch
back.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
so
right.
I think I saw one, you had like this little puppy all over your head, and so it's because Diva probably didn't want it in the seat, right?
Yes.
So you had to have the dog on you.
Yes. Bobka is not a puppy lover.
All right. Then we have another email here from Barb who says, I have a question for Dr. Weiss. I love her videos, but was wondering, do the dogs ever go to the bathroom in the car?
Not that I'm aware of, but there is the back seat's farther away. No, I once did something stupid, which I went to a farm and we used different animals, and chickens definitely will defecate everywhere. Mm. So that wasn't fun. But otherwise, no, I think it's pretty clean.
All right. And then let's see. This is Amelia who says she's got several questions, but she's narrowed it down to just a few. She says, my dog, a Wheaton Terrier, is obsessed with skunks. And she lives from the vineyard, so you know there's a lot of skunks on the vineyard.
Oh.
Needless to say, there are plenty of them on the island. She gets sprayed day and night. Honestly, one afternoon we were walking on the beach. She took off over the dunes and came back having gotten a direct hit. It looked like antifreeze and smelled like a combination of burned rubber, diesel fuel, and skunk. Next day, literally, she was at it again. What can I do to get her to stop chasing skunks? Some ears are perking up right now because a lot of dogs do that.
Can she introduce her to some squirrels? I mean, that's a hard one because a lot of dogs will learn after the first skunking. And a dog's not a dog on the Cape or the islands unless they've been skunked.
They all have.
Yeah. They all have. But for a dog to be skunked over and over and over again, well, I feel bad for you.
Yeah. It's funny. I used to have a little Bichon, and one night I came home kind of late. It was maybe 10:30, and I could smell the skunk, you know, as you're walking up the walk to the doorway, and I thought, oh, boy. And I opened the door, and it smelled worse. So
oh, no.
You know what happened while I was gone.
Oh, no.
And then, all right, she says, another vineyard menace is wild turkeys. Same dog chases them occasionally and only half-heartedly, while our cat stalks them endlessly but fruitlessly. How can I encourage the dog to chase away the turkeys?
Don't feed her for a week.
All right, so same dog, age 7, became terrified of loud noises. She shakes uncontrollably and tries to curl herself into a ball in my lap. It started with thunderstorms and fireworks and now includes crashing waves and even if someone drops something in the house that makes a sudden noise. Is there a way to train her not to care about loud noises?
That's a hard one, and it takes a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And mostly you thank God for the internet. You can just play loud noises a lot while you're sitting around with her, and she's going to read your body language, or the owner's body language. So, for instance, during a thunderstorm, you just want to be as chill as possible and never kind of hug them, coddle them, and say it's okay. They're picking up all those signals. Or for any loud noise, you kind of want to, although it's difficult, just be chill and relaxed. I mean, if they're absolutely crazy, neurotic, and drooling and pacing, that's a different story. Yeah. There's medication for that, and there are different devices that they also have for that.
Yeah. What do you think about those with the kind of magnetic blankets? You know those things they say?
Undershirts.
Yeah, whatever. Do they work?
They actually do work.
Do they? Because I know some people say they do, but they never worked on my dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's probably that whole Temple Grandin thing with certain hugging.
Oh,
and
sort of
cuddling
feeling
and
safe.
Feeling safe. Yeah, and what we do to babies.
Yeah.
And snuggle, wrap them in those
that
blankets.
That dog said age 7. I was just thinking as my dog got a little bit older, around, 13, 14, the same kind of thing, not every loud noise, but I found it was more from a hearing loss, that she wasn't sure what the noises were, so she would kind of more bark than I guess get to, but she would jump kind of a thing.
Yeah. So, how old was she when she was doing that?
Oh, about 13, 14, yeah.
Okay, so they do get dementias like people, so that could be part of it.
This is from Michael, who says, there was a recent article in the Washington Post that a grain-free dog food may be bad. Do you have an opinion on that?
Sure. A lot of the dog food companies are, like everybody else in the world, they're out to use marketing or whatever. And we've seen this across the board with many, many years. But right now, because people are sort of aware of grain-free types of foods, it's sort of spilled into the dog food area too. And we don't have that much information yet about it, but we've just seen some adverse reactions or cardiologists have sort of picked up that there have been breeds that have certain cardiac diseases that they're not usually supposed to have, like Schnauzers and Doodles are getting cardiomyopathies, whereas it used to be mostly like Dobermans. So there's a signal, basically, we call that. And they're kind of looking into it and seeing it. And those dogs, one thing that those dogs have also had is this grain-free dog foods. So it's probably best to, I don't know. I mean, there are different ways to look at it. All foods are foods, but in terms of there are some people that use just people food. There are so many different dog foods on the market, and for the most part, they're excellent. Mm-hmm. But it's just something to kind of be aware of.
And need more research on, basically.
Do more research on, yeah.
Yeah, all right. I have a couple of great dog stories, which I know you have a ton of, but I'm going to share two that Amy wrote in. My father was a golf course superintendent, and we had an Irish setter, Penny, that was his constant companion. His workshop was next to the 9th green, where Penny would often be lounging outside. In the time it took for someone to tee off on the 9th hole and make their way up to the hill to the green, Penny would have retrieved the ball and be sound asleep again outside the shop. Sometimes she hid the balls, and sometimes she kept them with her. Most golfers came to view this as the hazard of the 9th hole. That's a great story.
That's a great
story. This is another great story.
And Irish setters are very special. They're beautiful. But the old veterinary basically saying about Irish setters was you have to hold them on the table because they're just basically they're like dumb blondes. They'll fall off.
All right, so this is the other one. We used to walk our Rhodesian Ridgeback in the early mornings on one of Falmouth's beaches. He developed a crush on a basset hound that lived in one of the beachside homes, so we had to leash him to keep him moving past the house. One morning on the return trip down the beach, our Ridgeback ran ahead, went up the stairs to the house, and disappeared from view. We called and called to no avail. Finally, my husband crept up the stairs to the house, and on the other side of the open sliding glass door was our dog sitting on the couch next to the basset hound, with the tea kettle coming to a boil on the stove. My husband dashed in, grabbed our dog, and dashed out.
They would have made very nice puppies, by the way. Beautiful puppies. That's a funny story.
It is.
That's a very funny story.
866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626 for your dog, cat, whatever your pet is. We'd love to hear your stories or questions. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. More after a break. And you're listening to The Point. We are talking with veterinarian Alice Weiss. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. And Babka didn't bark when you walked back in the room.
Now she will. Talk. Talk. Sit. Sit. Talk.
There we go. All right, so Alice, tell us about this bark. You speak dog, I guess. What is this barking stuff that?
Growing up, again, I was one of those people that animals were sort of more important to me than people, and so I observed. I sat and watched Rover for hours. That's what I did during my childhood, and I've noticed over time how how he talked to a lot of the other dogs, and I started imitating him, and it was sort of another language. As I got older, people used to follow dogs when they were looking for me because they thought there's Alice. But so there's the whining that they make, which is and that usually sort of means kind of you want some. They want them to come to them, like, and it sounds like that, right?
Yeah.
And then you can go, certainly, there's a, all the guttural kind of things are more of a protective, but and then the barks, most owners, I guess, know that different barks mean different things, but if you listen really carefully, you can hear distinctions. So, for instance, a high bark. That was not that good. Hold on a second. I'm taking a little bit of water. But that sort of means just a hello, hi, how are you? And then it can be, if there's a lot of them, that's more of somewhat of a protective, angry. And then you can get the sort of guttural, chesty kind of, where they sort of build up, woo, woo, and that is, again, more of a protective thing. And the smaller the dog, the lower, woo,
gotcha.
Obviously just by the chest size.
Wow. I can't believe you can do
I
all
used
that.
To be a lot better. It's interesting, my voice, vocal cords or whatever is
they're wrecked from
years.
Doing that.
I think so.
All right, we have Barbara calling from Brewster. Good morning, Barbara.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been waiting for somebody to tell me what the problem is with my son's cat. He adopted a kitten, a Hemingway kitten, and this kitten all day, well, he's not a kitten anymore. He might be 8 or 9 months, but he comes in and he just hides under the covers all day long, and he comes out at night. The only thing he wants to do is hide. I don't know if he considers hiding, but he stays under the covers all day long.
So this is a case where you really, really, really need to take a really long and history on the animal. Like, where did the animal come from? When did you get the animal? Was it a 6-week-old kitten? Was it a 3-month-old adoptee?
He got it from a breeder who breeds Hemingway cats.
Oh, okay. And so it was like a 6 to 8 week old kitten?
Right, right. And if I may add something else, when he does wake up, I have a wonderful Manx, And he, even though he's a little guy, he constantly attacks my cat. And it's a very unseemly situation because they really, Foofy, that's my cat, he's afraid of this little guy.
There you go.
He's little and ferocious.
Which one is the little and ferocious one, your son's cat?
Yes, my son's cat.
Is that it on the animals in the house? Just the two cats?
Just the two cats, yes.
So their territories like are totally overlapping and confused. And so what I would do first, I mean, there are veterinary behaviors out there, but so I certainly know a lot about behavior, but I'm not an expert. But I would start by trying to really keep the two animals separate for a while. I know it's hard. It's much easier for me to say this to you than for you to do. But you really need to restrict their territories for a while. And then basically, and also have two litter boxes and two places for each of them to eat and drink.
I already do that, actually.
Wonderful, wonderful. And then slowly, so are they... are they intermingling at all now? Is it set up as one house?
Well, what happens now when we do let Sparky, that's the small one, it looks like he wants to be friends with the older cat, but the older cat has bad experiences with him. So even when he comes near him, he starts, you know, growling or whatever the cat's noise makes.
Yeah.
The thing is that there has to be a reason why he wants to be under the covers, under the quilts, even on a hot day.
Right.
All day long.
There's some fear involved, and it's going to be hard to do a redo, but I would really separate them so that.
May I add something that's pretty important?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. But my son lives in Boston in an apartment, and even in Boston, when the other cat is in a near at all, he does it as well. In Boston, he's under the covers all day. There's absolutely no threat actually then.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, what I would do, maybe use a softer gauze-like cover. Let him stay under the covers. That's his place, and it may take a long time for him to change. But yeah. I wouldn't worry about it too much. As long as he's eating and drinking and basically okay.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned this before we went on the air. We had a cat that we adopted that, you know, had been abused. Kids and the family, I don't know how many moves away and leaves cats, but that's what happened to this poor little cat. She was about two when we adopted her. And same thing, we didn't see her for, I bet, the first 2 years. We hardly ever saw her. She was under beds. She was, you know, by herself somewhere. People come in the house, they go, "You have a cat?" But she eventually, it took a long time, as you're saying.
Exactly.
It takes a long time, but she came around, and in her own way, you know, eventually she'd started coming to the fringes of the room when we were there. Then when people would come over, she never did like children, which I don't blame her, but she lived to be 21, and towards the, you know, last years of her life, she would jump up into any adult's lap. So it takes time and patience.
It does, and that's a pretty common story.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So let's see. We have a note here from our Facebook page. Beth says, "I would like to speak up in praise of house rabbits. They are smart, sensitive, loving companions. And while they are not low maintenance and there is a learning curve, they do not need to be walked or go to the bathroom outside. They can be litter box trained. A spayed neutered bunny has a lifespan of 8 to 12 years. Sadly, the MSPCA and ARS shelters have lots of rabbits looking for loving homes. Bunnies have a very special joy and peaceful energy that is wonderful to live with." I have to say, the people I know who have had rabbits say the exact same thing.
Yes, I had many rabbit when I was a child. They're wonderful.
Yeah. So let's talk about some fun stories you have here. And I was looking at some of the things you're talking about, some dogs here in Woods Hole. You've spent summers in Woods Hole practically your whole life. There were actually some dogs that used to, you know, when they roamed free here, would actually jump on the ferry and go over to the vineyard and come back. I knew of one dog that did that, but you know several.
Yes. Well, Boomer was the dog I remember growing up. It was a big, white, sort of shaggy, shepherdy, golden retriever-looking dog. But there are adopt so many different dogs that, and back then, you know, dogs were not, they weren't, had, they didn't have to be on a leash. Now there's so many Facebook pages, for instance, that do sort of dog shaming if they're off leash, and that makes sense. But back then, Woods Hole was a town where it was small enough, the dogs would get around, and a lot of these dogs figured out that they could hop on the ferry, and the ferry, I think it was useful for the ferry themselves. The dogs kind of got a kickback in that there were vending little cafeteria thingy-dings on the ferry itself. So there was, I remember, and I think my kids remember more recently, there was a basset hound that would just wander the streets all the time that would hop on the ferry, and he was low enough to the ground that he would just kind of walk
catch
around.
Things.
And it was the hot dogs. He would take the hot dogs from the kids. Oh. And they would. That meant that the ferry could sell more hot dogs.
Oh, my goodness.
So, he was a ferry, but there were at least six or seven dogs that people that I talked to remember hopped the ferry.
We had Jenny's dog Mole. Mole never got on the ferry, did he? No, yeah, but Mole used to wander around here in Woods Hole. He used to come. Unfortunately, Mole is no longer with us, but
he lived a long time.
He did live a long time, and you know, was so cute. He would come into the. Sometimes he'd come here into the station. He'd wander in. He might be laying in the hallway. Sometimes he'd come here in the studio and just hang out during the show. And sometimes he'd go into the control. He was just a mellow, kind of cool dog.
He was his own dog.
Yeah, he
was. He was his own dog. He really was like, they lived with him.
Yeah, right, exactly. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We're talking with veterinarian Alice Weiss. Diane says, please stop the noise. Dog, the dog noises. I have two dogs zooming around looking for the invader.
I'm sorry.
We won't do it anymore.
I'm sorry.
All right, so let's talk about some of the hazards we have here. On the, you know, we have predators. You know, lots of people are worried about the coyotes, especially if they have cats. But there's also owls. I mean, coyotes aren't the only predators you have to be nervous about. And I always wondered about the coyotes because sometimes you hear stories of coyotes playing with the bigger dogs, like labs and things. And then you hear these horrible stories of them, you know, getting the little dogs.
Yes,
so
that's
what's
true.
What's the deal with the coyotes?
Well, you do have to be careful. One of the notorious dogs that used to run around Woods Hole was Daisy, which was a little fox terrier, and she met her end with a coyote. But you know, they're out there. They're on the they're all over the Cape and on the islands, and I guess if they're well fed and they're not hungry, certainly they would, and young, they could certainly play with dogs. You know, you could see that happening. But on the islands, they don't have the rabies virus. But on the Cape, there, you know, the rabies virus is around. So I would just, if I had a small dog, I would sort of always be kind of around them when I shoved them out the door.
Right. No coyotes on the islands, just on the Cape.
Yeah.
And the fox, same. The fox. We've had some dead fox that have tried to swim over, I guess, to the vineyard or something.
That's what they say.
Yeah. And then
they haven't navigated the ferries.
Yeah,
like
we had a long time, like a decade of absolutely no rabies on the Cape, and then when they stopped the, you know, the rabies bait program, then we had that year where it was, you know, kind of, you know, prominent because there had been nothing, which is, I guess, not unusual. So I didn't realize that. I know we started the baiting program again, so I didn't realize we still had some rabies.
Yeah,
at this
point. It's not common, but they'll find it occasionally in like a bat or something that they test.
Oh yeah, bats. Yeah, that's right, bats, for sure.
For sure. Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Meriton calling from Braintree. Hi, Meriton. Hi, are you there? Okay, we'll try to get back. I'm not sure what the technical difficulty is. Let's talk about salt water. We have dogs here who love to play in the salt water, but they can get salt water toxicity if they drink too much of it. So tell us about that.
Actually happened to one of our dogs, Ruby. If they just happen to be swimming and they didn't have their morning, whatever, gulp of water, fresh water, they're, you know, makes sense that they would drink some of the salt water. And sometimes they can drink too much and basically dehydrates them. And they get kind of, they act weird, strange, drunk. And it is something, sometimes if you're like out on a hot day and the dog, you sort of forgotten to bring your dog's fresh water and they're swimming and drinking a lot, it can get very, very dangerous.
So what do you do if you think your dog's had a little too much salt water?
Just really try to encourage them to drink fresh water.
Fresh water and kind of flush it out. Is that the
idea?
Yes. All right. And then, of course, we have intestinal parasites on the beaches.
Probably, yes. Any beach, anywhere, not just the Cape, but certainly the intestinal parasites that all dogs have when they get it from the milk of their mothers, they all have it. But they're on so many parasiticides that, you know, on a regular basis. Anyway, so for the most part, most of our dogs are clean in terms of the intestinal parasites. And that means that their poop doesn't really have the larvae or the eggs in it. But occasionally you can get a dog that hasn't been dewormed and that they'll poop on the beach. And the larvae of those, like, for instance, hookworms,
right,
sort of dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
And it happens.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, it even tougher when you live in the South, where the hookworm they don't die in the ground, right?
That's
because
right.
It's warmer. They don't have that freeze.
That's absolutely
so. They pick
right.
it up in their paws. Right?
Yeah, and it's the people. It's a zoonotic thing where the people get it through their skin.
Yeah. All right, let's talk now, Martin in Braintree. Hi, Martin, are you there?
Yes. How are you doing?
Good. Do you have a question?
I got a corgi that get once more old and he keeps biting the furniture and all that stuff. Would he grow to that or?
How old? What'd you say? It was a
corgi?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I love corgis. No, and what you're saying, he bites the furniture?
Yeah, yeah.
How old is he?
8 months.
Eight months.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there you
yeah.
go. Is the furniture expensive? Do you care?
Some of it is, some of it not.
Okay. I would.
Does he grow out of it, or?
Yeah, he should really grow out of it. I would kind of move the expensive stuff out of his teeth's reach, or put some blanket stuff around it, and give him lots of distractions. Go to the recycling bin, and you know, there are water bottles, paper towels, cereal boxes. But he should outgrow it.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a tough stage. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
maybe
a year, another few months or whatever.
Yeah.
What kind of corgi is it?
I forget now. He's just a pure breed, I think. My son got him.
Oh, nice.
He's a good guy.
Well,
okay,
be patient. Hopefully he'll grow out of that soon. I actually had a friend when I lived in Florida who had a Great Dane. And again, this was before we created dogs. And her Great Dane, while she was at work, actually ate her couch, her whole couch.
That's some serious.
It was like her whole couch was ruined.
Separation anxiety is what we call it.
Probably,
but whatever it is.
Yeah. All right.
That's too
we
bad.
Have Claudia calling from Edgartown. Hi, Claudia.
Hi. How are you?
Great.
I have a 10-year-old rescue cairn. Now, I've had her for 5 years, and I have not been able to break her of the habit of racing along the fence whenever there's another dog that goes by and is barks wildly. And, it's, you know, it's ballistic.
Yeah.
And I've tried all kinds of things, and I can't get her to stop doing that. And I figure it's territorial.
Yeah.
And people going by with their dogs said, oh, our dog does that too. But it's, you know, it's annoying.
Yeah. These behavioral things are hard. Honestly, probably if she's 10, you're not going to be able to take that away from her. However, if you really, really wanted to detrain her to do that, there are, you know, as soon as you see another, if you stay outside with her, okay, and I would put her on like a leash and stay outside with her. And as the dog approaches, have her sit and at first, you could even set it up with a friend, like have the dog in the background sort of come into her eye, you know, so that she can see the dog, and then have her just sit and reward her when she's not barking or doing anything. Say, what a good girl, what a good girl.
All right.
And you want to kind of build on that positive reinforcement.
Right.
So, and it is definitely something that you can train if you have the time.
Oh, I have the time.
Okay. Well, then spend some time outside with her. Mm-hmm. And if you could, if you have a leash on her, and if she starts doing a bad behavior, you want to just kind of jerk the leash a little bit, distract her, like even
right.
poke her side so she
right.
sort of snaps out of it. Get her to look at you and say, what a good girl. You want to just get her to understand that what you want from her is to be sitting and not barking. Because they want to, Karen, well, terriers are their own, they're their own species, but
they are,
but they also, part of them wants to please you. Not a lot, but yeah. part of them wants to please you. And so if you can use that part and just build on it,
All right.
You know, you can certainly email me at through Dogs Enjoy Life, but just that it's sort of a fun thing to try to accomplish as a veterinarian, but good
right.
luck with it.
Yeah, thanks for the
Thank
call, Claudia.
Much.
Yeah, I'm just
Bye.
As you're talking about terriers, I'm thinking. I don't know if you know that kid's book, Murphy. It's a little dog. It's just Murphy. Stop! That is my name. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. More after a break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking with veterinarian Alice Weiss. She is also the creator of Dogs Enjoy Life videos on Twitter and Instagram and a pet advice columnist. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We're talking mostly about dogs, but I want to insert two other little creatures here. So a lot of people who are in apartments or in houses that they're renting and they can't have cats or dogs or pets, sometimes the landlords will say, okay, you can have something you can keep in a cage, like a hamster or a guinea pig. This was the case with my daughter. So it was like, decide, do we go with the hamster or we go with the guinea pig?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the guinea pigs are a little more social and lovable, right? She opted for the guinea pigs and got two instead of one because they don't really like to be alone, right?
Yes. You know, I'm partial to rats.
Are you? They're
yes.
smart.
They are so smart. They are so smart. And it's the tail, honestly, gives me a little bit of the heebie-jeebies
yeah.
as well.
I think the rats in general give people heebie-jeebies.
But they're like little dogs.
Yeah.
And the hamsters and the guinea pigs are wonderful as well. But this sounds crazy. But if you, with all those little animals, the ones that kind of poop carefully, mm-hmm. they're careful poopers. So like a rat, it goes in one place. It won't be pooping all over you when you're holding it. It's like the woman that had called in earlier about the rabbits.
The rabbits,
they'll,
right.
they'll mm-hmm. use a litter box. You know, hamsters and guinea pigs, they're harder to train that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of, and mice. Mice mm-hmm. are great pets. And for parents out there, you know, these animals, they don't live that long.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, which sometimes can be a good thing if you're a parent that doesn't really want to have pets for,
right,
child,
for a long
you need
time.
To
yeah.
satisfy that.
You don't
want to
keep it after the kids go off to college.
Exactly.
When I was a kid, I had a friend who had mice as pets, and I can still remember that. Now I can't even imagine doing this, but, you know, the mice, there was a lot of them after a while.
Yeah.
And we would play with them. We literally would take handfuls and, like, drop them in our shirt so these little fuzzy things would be running around. Can you? Shirley is giving us a call from Falmouth. Hi, Shirley.
Yeah, I just joined the show. I don't know if you happen to mention about the dogs. Of Woods Hole that happened to ride the ferry back and forth, I did own one.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
And he,
Scrappy.
Scrappy, exactly. He lived to be almost 18, and the dog walked every day no less than 5-6 miles.
Wow. What did Scrappy look like?
An oversized Benji. He was about 150 or 60 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And he loved the water. I mean, he would swim everywhere, right off the docks in Woods Hole.
Huh.
And he used to take the boat. He'd take the ferry over, and I had a tag on him with my number. And people would call, and I'd say, well, if you direct him back down to the dock where the ferry comes in. And sure enough, he'd be back. He would show up at my door every single night just as I was about to leave. I don't know how he knew it. But he
when dinner was served.
He also received an honorary award from the science school for perfect attendance.
Oh,
for perfect attendance.
That's fabulous.
Scrappy was a great dog.
Oh, he was, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
But he was so smart, and he must have been pod terrier.
Wow.
And I was just wondering, how do these dogs understand and comprehend everything that's going on and know how to hop on a boat and go home again?
You know, they're just so smart. Even dogs even what quote-unquote dumb dogs, I think they're a lot smarter than we impart on them. And dogs that sort of quote-unquote seem smart, I think that's sort of the nervousness about them. And they just have more radar. They like Babka here will sort of know if I take my shoes. They just know. You take your shoes off, you put your shoes on, you pick up your bag. They pick up all those cues. But a dog like Scrappy, as you said, you know, they get the lay of the land in terms of they probably hopped on the boat the first time because he probably followed another dog. and again, the hot dog thing, I think, on the ferries must have been a big draw.
Yeah. What dog doesn't like a hot dog?
We had a dog, one of our many dogs that would get out all the time, Snowy. It took me a long time to figure out how she was getting out. And she would use her paw and dig her fingernails into the wood of the screen door and pull it and pull it and pull it until it pulled open and off she was.
Oh, wow.
And she would, yeah.
Shirley, thanks for the call. Thanks for calling in. You know, I had a German Shepherd who I thought was incredibly smart, and I could not figure this out for a while. We lived on a lake in New Hampshire, and we had a canoe, a little like, you know, a Hobie Cat sailboat, and then the water ski boat. And I was always amazed that as we were walking down to the dock, he always jumped on to the right boat. And I was like, how does he know which boat we were going for? And I don't know, it must have been something in the movement, like what you took with you or something, because that is amazing. And he also, I always thought I should have named him Houdini, because when I would go to work, I'd, you know, sometimes time up outside and he would get free. And my neighbor watched him one day. And what he would do, he'd wait till I leave. He'd walk out to the end of the rope, and then he'd lay down on the ground and just twist around until the clip. So I had to use a horse clip to actually keep him tied to that. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, yes.
They are so smart. They really are.
Yes.
Right, Bertha is calling from Fairhaven. Hi, Bertha.
Good morning. I wanted to make a comment on the man who called about his dog chewing things off his furniture.
Yeah.
Our puppy used to do that, like telephone cords, shoelaces, everything. But anyway, he's now 14 months, and he has outgrown that, so have faith.
Thank you.
The question I have is, so this is a rescue dog. It's basically a terrier. We don't know exactly what it is. But once in a while, like, he'll chase his tail. He goes round in a circle, round and round and round, maybe for up to 30 seconds. And I was wondering if, like, that's normal, or if... why he's doing that.
That is a classic behavior that some dogs, it's like a tick that some dogs will have. He may have it all through his life. And if he's acting normally otherwise and eating and drinking.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's the cutest thing ever.
Oh, really? He may just be playing. Yeah. It may not be, you know, it may not be something that he has regularly, but...
burst of energy or something. Yeah. All right. Bertha, thanks for the call. We didn't talk a little about birds, but I'm just thinking my brother and his wife got their kids birds, and they're the cockatiels, so not the big white ones, those little yellow ones. And I thought, you know, they love them, and, you know, she was saying what great pets they are. And they had, you know, laid a couple eggs, and of course the eggs weren't viable. And then they laid a couple more eggs, and all of a sudden, they had babies.
Oh, how fun.
Which she said was great. It was a great experience for the kids. But now she's got the four birds, and they were driving her insane. Two birds were good, but four was too much. So she ended up finding homes for the two babies.
Smart.
But yeah. But she said the dad was actually the better parent than the mom bird.
Really?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess choosing a pet is always a tough decision, isn't it? So what goes into that?
Well, it depends upon, certainly, if there are kids involved, definitely what the household is at the time. A lot of people go with rescues, but I've been a vet for a long time now, and right now, rescues, there's a lot of pressure to get a rescue. But some, and that's okay. The rescues are fantastic, but it's also okay to get a purebred dog or to get a mixed dog that you're paying. It's okay to spend the money for a dog or a bird, mm-hmm. or, you know, and it just depends. There are breeds over the many, 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 many years that we've domesticated them really do have different traits.
Mm, absolutely.
So, mm-hmm. you know, some dogs, like the gentleman that called in about his Rhodesian Ridgeback, or you mentioned mm-hmm. the story about the Rhodesian Ridgeback.
They're beautiful dogs.
They're beautiful, but they were, you know, mm-hmm. lion herders, mm-hmm. and they're not for everyone.
Right.
And I remember an elderly woman in her 70s came in with a Rhodesian Ridgeback puppy, and I thought,
oh boy.
You know, yeah. So it's really, really important to talk to your vet and talk to people.
Do your homework.
Do your homework. Yeah, it's so important.
Yeah.
Go to dog parks and see, or you know, and see if you're interested in a dog and see what dogs are like, different breeds.
Well, it's interesting because that's when we got our little Bichon, that was what we did a lot of home. We went friendly, you know, family and all of that. The one thing I hadn't thought about was the amount of grooming that a Bichon needs.
Yes.
Yeah. And in the summer, we literally used to just shave him because they're not supposed to like the beach, but this dog loved the beach.
Really?
It was like a walking piece of Velcro going down that beach. So we had to, but I've had both purebreds and mixed dogs. And I find that the mixed dogs, the mutts, seem to be healthier. You know, each breed has its own, you know, things that they're prone to. And the mixed dogs seem to be, I don't know, do you find that to be true?
That makes sense. Because again, you get special, as I mentioned earlier, with the Doberman, with the cardiomyopathies, and, mm-hmm. you know, you get like the Karen or the wheat little, some of the smaller terriers will have skin problems. Yes. So you mm-hmm. mix that up genetically. Although often too, there might be issues with breeding. Mm-hmm.
Over
in terms of if you
yeah.
go, you don't know what's in that dog
right.
and what mixes yeah. are there, but absolutely.
Yeah. The other thing I think a lot of people worry about here too is, you know, the diseases from the ticks, especially
yes.
Lyme disease. And
yes.
we've got a lot of dogs who get Lyme disease.
Well, actually it's, dogs and Lyme disease, it's a whole different story than people and Lyme mm-hmm. disease. And most dogs could get
bounce
Lyme disease and bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there are certain breeds, the retrievers, where the little, the Borrelia burgdorferi mm-hmm. would, you know, it gets in and it, the little spirochete, and then the body reacts to the spirochete. And then somehow in the kidneys, they have these big complexes that can cause really serious kidney disease. And mm-hmm. so for retriever breeds, we don't know why they are susceptible to these issues, kidney issues with the Lymes. But so I would make sure that those dogs are really on anti-tick medications. Mm-hmm. They're a whole different type of anti-tick medications that are now available, these isoxazolines. And which is fantastic. And also, there is a vaccine that's somewhat controversial, but I would be using that for the retrievers mm-hmm. and not necessarily the other dogs. Luckily, the other dogs, they for the most part can get it, and you may see clinical signs of it, but it doesn't mm-hmm. quote unquote kill them.
Exactly. Well, we're going to have a link on our website to your Dogs and Joy Life videos, which they're short and fun, and I'm sure people will love. I obviously already have a big following on that, so maybe there'll be more folks checking out your videos.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Alice Weiss, veterinarian, pet advice columnist, and the creator of Dogs and Joy Life videos on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks so much for being with us. A lot of fun this hour.
Thank you.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thank you for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.